Hey, good morning, guys. It is April 21st, 2021, and you are listening to Ball for the Filthy Casual. Guys, I'm really excited. Today, we're going to go over Doc's playoff bracket for both the West and the East. I'm also going to give you guys my picks for who I think is going to win it all. So, thanks so much for listening and supporting the channel. Like I said in the last episode, very soon we're going to have a lot more streaming platforms, so it's going to be easier for you guys to listen. You guys are going to be able to watch, stream alongside me, and we're gonna keep this ball rolling and really ride this gravy train. Okay, let's talk about the playoff bracket for the West first. Okay, so this is how it lays out. We have the Jazz versus either Golden State or Memphis, the Clippers versus Dallas. Denver is going to take on Portland. The Suns will face the Lakers, and this seems pretty straightforward to me, if I'm being honest. So it really doesn't matter who wins in tonight's game when, in terms of Golden State and Memphis. Whoever it is going to get crushed by the Utah Jazz. I get it. Steph Curry, absolutely amazing player. He really is. I mean, he's playing some of his best basketball, and he absolutely deserves to be in the conversation for MVP. But let's not forget that they're a 39-win team, okay? They're a 39-win team. There is absolutely no chance, knock on wood, that Golden State advances past the Utah Jazz. Maybe a small chance, a really small chance, but I'm sorry, but the Utah Jazz have Rudy Gobert. Who's going to stop Rudy? You're telling me that Draymond Green is going to big body Rudy Gobert for 7 games? I don't think so. Donovan Mitchell was finally coming back. I read a report from the Salt Lake Tribune saying that he joined practice yesterday and is feeling really good and will be playing on Sunday. You have Mike Conley. You have Jordan Clarkson. And then a slew of other great players. I mean, the two leading candidates for Defensive Player of the Year are on the Utah Jazz. It's Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson. And outside of Steph Curry and Draymond Green, excuse me, guys, who does Golden State have? They have Jordan Poole, I guess. And, you know, I just don't have much faith in Kevon Looney taking down Rudy. You know, and not to mention, I forgot to mention Bojan Bogdanović, who not too long ago scored about 48 points in a game, which is his new career high. So, guys, for me, it really doesn't matter who wins in tonight's final play-in game for the Western playoff bracket. It's going to be Jazz in 5. Okay, next up we have the Clippers versus the Mavericks. Guys, this one was difficult for me. I'm a huge Mavericks fan. I love Luka Doncic. I love his game. The sad thing is that franchise has tried to get him help that has just kind of deteriorated. Now, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a great player in his own right. I don't believe he's worth the $17 or $20 million he's receiving per year. But he is a great player. He is not enough. I said at the beginning of the season that the success of this team would be predicated on the health of Kristaps Porzingis, and he has not been able to consistently be healthy. Sorry. That guy is a problem. Okay? And Dallas's franchise is going to have to look and see what they're going to do with him. So unfortunately, because of that, I'm going to have to go with the Clippers in 7. It breaks my heart. I really wanted Luka to advance. I would have loved to see Jazz versus Mavericks in the second round. That would be phenomenal, but it's just not going to happen. Next up in the first round, we have Denver versus Portland. So for some reason, Vegas has Portland as the slight favorite, which to me is absolutely ridiculous because they're like the worst defensive team in the NBA. I love Damian Lillard. I love CJ McCollum. I like Yusuf Nurkic. I like this team. I really do. But they can't defend. And if you cannot defend against Denver, you are going to get squashed. So I'm even, you know, Jamal Murray or not, I'm picking Denver in six. They should have not a lot of issues getting past Portland. Portland's going to win a couple games. I expect them to. But Denver is going to cruise right through them. Okay, and then our last pick, obviously, we have Phoenix versus the Lakers. So, guys, first of all, let me just say I'm kind of getting over a virus. So if I'm trying not to cough or clear my throat as much as I can into the mic. Guys, the Lakers did not look good to me in their game against Golden State. They did not look good. In fact, Frank Vogel had to change his offense through the second half for them to be successful. I've heard a lot about how the Lakers are just going to make it work with Andre Drummond and Marc Gasol and all these bigs. But the reality is that their success was having Anthony Davis at the five. You know, he likes to say he's a power forward or whatever. Go ahead and call yourself that. But when you start in that center role, you're fantastic. AD, I'm talking to you, man. You're fantastic when you are rocking that center role. So as long as they keep with that lineup, they really have to shorten the lineup. The Lakers have a lot of work to do, but they're facing a very inexperienced Suns team who has not been playoff relevant in God knows how long, at least 5 to 10 years. I do think that having Chris Paul on your team is going to give you that veteran presence and mentality, but everyone else on this team has never made it this far, and it's going to show in this series. So I have the Lakers in seven. All right, let's move on to the second round now. Utah versus the Clippers. Okay. Utah does not really have the defensive capability to deal with a dynamic wing like Kawhi Leonard or Paul George when they're playing to their full capacity. However, I don't believe that's going to happen. I think even with Ty Lue really helping navigate and steer this ship into the right direction, I just don't have a lot of faith in Paul George. He doesn't really, I mean, they call him, what do they call him? Not playoff Paul, but they kind of do, but that's more of a slight at him because he just doesn't perform in the playoffs. And Donovan Mitchell has beaten him in the playoffs before. So I am going to go with the upset. I know a lot of people are picking the Clippers. Man, I got Utah in seven. Okay, and next up in our second round matchup, we have Denver versus the Lakers. This is going to be a hard-fought battle. This is not going to be easy street for the Lakers like it was last year. Jamal Murray or not, Michael Porter Jr. is really stepping up, and this team is going to be a force to be reckoned with. However, with that said, I still have the Lakers in seven, but don't be surprised if it comes down to the wire. I believe it will, because Jokic, I mean, in my opinion, should be the MVP this year. So he's really going to give it to the Lakers. They're going to come out, punch hard, punch fast. But I think the Lakers are just going to be able to close out. That brings us to the Western Conference Finals, where we have the Lakers versus Utah. This also just completely breaks my heart. I don't like saying this, but I have the Lakers in seven. Just to the fact that Utah will have never made it this far before. I think fatigue is going to set in. And I just don't think that Utah is going to be able to get over that hump. Believe me, that hurts me to say as a Utah fan. But making it to the Western Conference Finals is a big deal. I think Utah will go back to the drawing board. And I think within the next 5 years, Utah is going to bring a ring home for sure. I really believe that. All right, let's move on to the East. All right, in the first round, we have Philly versus Washington. Okay, that's going to be a wash. Okay, Philly's going to take him out in four. That's just how that's going to go. Next up, we have the Knicks versus the Hawks. This is going to be the most thrilling battle in the first round of the East. I am picking the Knicks in seven. I think that it's going to be an all-out war between Julius Randle and Trae Young. I think Trae Young is going to get beat up on the floor. And I just think the Knicks are going to overwhelm them and move on to the second round, which is going to be absolutely crazy for New York fans. Sorry, guys. I'm really trying to get over this, and I got to get myself some more throat lozenges. Next up, we have the Bucks versus the Heat. I think this is going to be the year for the Bucks to finally learn from their past mistakes. They've made adjustments, and with the addition of I keep on thinking Julius Randle. I know that's not right. Oh, man. What is that guy's name? Anyways, look. Bucks are going to win in six. And that's just how it's going to be. I think the Bucks are definitely going to be able to defeat the Heat this year. I think they're going to learn from their mistakes. They've made adjustments. They've added players. In fact, let me look this guy. I'm having some morning brain right now, guys. Sorry, it's 8:13 in the morning, and I usually don't record this early. But all right, let's take a look at the Bucks. Why is his name escaping me right now? Let's look at their roster. Drew Holiday. Okay, sorry about that, guys. Look, with the addition of Drew Holiday, who really is an elite defender, he's very underrated. He's a much better pickup than who they used to have. I think that the Bucks are going to be able to just kind of cruise past the Heat, since they have Chris Middleton, Giannis, the Greek Freak, and they have Holiday as well. So I have Bucks in six over the Heat. Next up, we have the Nets versus the Celtics. Love the Celtics, you know, but Nets in four. That's an easy one for me. Oh, by the way, and there's all this talk about Brad Stevens being on the hot seat. All I have to say about that is that should not even be a topic of conversation, considering that the Celtics have been in the Eastern Conference Finals three out of the past 4 years. Okay? Just because they had a bad year with injuries and COVID, I mean, those are things that are outside of the coaching staff's control. So, I mean, let's be real here, and let's cut Brad a break, okay? All this, like, this shouldn't even be a topic of discussion, and honestly, I think NBA journalists should be ashamed of themselves of allowing this to even come across their desk, like, and they're talking about it. Regardless of what your opinion is, this shouldn't even be a topic of conversation. Brad Stevens is an amazing coach. He's fantastic, and, you know, I just don't, just because you have one bad year doesn't mean that all of a sudden you have to whitewash your coaching staff. It's crazy. Anyways, let's move on, though, to the second round. We have Philly versus the Knicks. I got Philly in five. I think the Knicks are going to be fatigued, and I just don't think Julius Randle is going to be able to match up next to Joel Embiid very well, and so Philly is going to put the nail in the coffin for the Knicks. However, this has been a very successful season for the Knicks. They're finally in the playoffs. I mean, I didn't see that coming. I don't think anyone saw that coming. So my hat's off to them and their coaching staff. I believe that's Tom Thibodeau. What he's done with this team is absolutely fantastic. They should be very proud. They should be very excited for next year and the years to come. I think they're a legit team again. So, hey, New York fans, congratulations. You don't just have one good team, you have two good teams finally. How exciting is that? I mean, Spike Lee must be jumping for joy right now. All right, next we have the Bucks versus the Nets. Okay. This is going to be a hard-fought battle, but the Nets are going to win in seven. Look, the big three of Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday is just not as good as Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. Plus, I believe the Nets have the better bench unit than the Bucks do. That doesn't mean it's not going to be a hard-fought battle, but I am picking the Nets to definitely advance. All right, now we're moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. We have Philly versus the Nets. Once again, very hard-fought battle, but Philly will eventually fall to the superior firepower of the Brooklyn Nets. I believe that they will have to play defense. They will have to find a way to contain Joel Embiid, but they will find a way to do it. Plus, the offensive firepower of three of some of the greatest superstars to ever play the game is just going to be too overwhelming. So, guys, that takes us to the finals. And in the finals, oh, my little baby's awake. Sorry if you guys can hear that. It is what it is, though, right? Now we're in the finals. I have the Lakers versus the Nets. This is must-see TV. This is box office. And the Nets are going to pull it off in six. Guys, that is my prediction for how these playoffs are going to roll out. Tell me what you guys think. Go ahead and email me at ball for at the filth. Excuse me, guys. Sorry, it's too early. Ball for the filthy casual at gmail.com. I'm currently setting up a YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Honestly, I should try to hire someone for that because I really don't know anything about that. But hey, we're going to make it work. Guys, go ahead and tell me what you think. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Guys, have a great weekend. I mean, it all starts Saturday. So I'll be back and keep it weird. Hi, it's April 25th, 2021. I'm your host, Doc J, and you guys are listening to Ball for the Filthy Casual. First, I want to congratulate Jordan Clarkson for winning Sixth Man of the Year. He was my pick, which makes sense because, guys, we all know that Doc J knows what he's talking about in terms of basketball. I just want to say this is fantastic. I think he 100% deserves this award, and I love the fact that not just Jordan Clarkson, but Joe Ingles was a finalist as well. This year we have three players and a coach who are all up for awards. That just shows you how the Utah Jazz have been playing. They've been killing it. And yeah, congrats, Jordan. You definitely deserve this award, man. So before we start, I want to give you guys the dad joke of the week. It's going to be a new segment on my show. Hopefully to give you guys a corny little laugh. But so I heard a gym caught fire this morning. So I guess it burned a lot of calories. Ba-dum-tsh. All right, there we go. All right, so in today's episode, we're just going to review the postseason so far with some of the matchups that are currently going on. The first, we're going to talk about Utah and Memphis. Memphis currently is leading the series 1-0. But the real story here is that Donovan Mitchell is going to be returning after being very vocal about his displeasure of being held from Game 1. Donovan will now be available to play the rest of the series. Look, if you're a Utah Jazz fan, this is fantastic news. You're ecstatic. We want Donovan back. We need him back. And I have a message for the Utah Jazz front office. Please, please do not piss off your franchise player. Now, look, this is another reason why I think having Dwayne Wade as a part-time owner is paramount for the Utah Jazz's success, especially when your franchise player is Donovan Mitchell. He can be a voice of reason that will be available alongside the Jazz front office to kind of create that happy medium and keep Donovan happy. Plus, he can act as a mentor for Donovan Mitchell, who has a very relatable game to how Dwayne Wade used to play. Man, like, let me touch on something else, too. I completely understand Donovan Mitchell's frustration. He felt like he was good to go, and he is very competitive, and he wants to play and win. And sometimes as a front office, you're trying to do what's best for your players, but you also have to trust your players. If your player says he's ready to go and he can play, you got to let him play. I mean, a great example of that is what's happening in Phoenix right now. Look, if you look at Chris Paul, and we'll touch on this in a second, he is not in playing form right now. But he's still playing, and the front office is letting him play, obviously, because he says, hey, I want to get out there, and I want to be the veteran presence my team needs in order to beat the Lakers. We'll touch on that on a second, but just to prove my point, sometimes you have to trust your players, and you have to go against your better judgment if you want to win. So the key to success for the Utah Jazz is obviously going to be Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is not going to let the Utah Jazz lose another round one, especially to the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, you can't take anything away from the Grizzlies. They have been playing playoff basketball for over a month now, pushing and fighting, scratching and clawing their way into the position now where they're trying to dethrone the number one seed. And they've been great, especially Dylan Brooks. Look, Dylan Brooks was a second round pick for Houston. He's playing with a chip on his shoulder. He has showed vast improvement. He's really dialed in on his nutrition and his health and getting his reps in the gym, and it shows, and he's a very gritty defender. So my question is going to be, how does his offense translate after he's forced to guard Donovan Mitchell? Now, Donovan is no stranger to being guarded by taller, lankier opponents. You have Dort who covered him. It seems like every playoff game, there's always a really tall shooting forward or shooting guard who gets placed on Donovan Mitchell, but he always finds a way to get his 50-plus, his 50 bones. So I want to see how Dylan Brooks looks after being forced to guard Donovan. Can you keep scoring 30 points? That is the question. And we have to look at that game too. So Memphis did a great job of hustling the basketball away from the Utah Jazz, and you could tell that they wanted that game more than the Jazz did. The Jazz looked like they were more annoyed or pestered by Memphis than trying to actually win the game. And obviously the Jazz are a second half team, and that goes to the intelligence of the coaching staff, because Quinn Snyder is very good at finding the flaws and hiccups in that first half and then closing those gaps. And then obviously the team is very elite and they're able to implement the game plan from Quinn Snyder. So I really expect the Utah Jazz to return to form, especially now that they have their franchise player back, the Spider-Man. And I think the Jazz are going to close this series in five. I think that the Jazz are just going to rattle off four wins. They're going to be very painful for Memphis. And we're going to close them out in Memphis. So if you're a Memphis fan, you should be proud of your team. They've made it this far. But, you know, we'll see you next year. You also have to remember, too, when we look at the Jazz's starting lineup, they have Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal. They have Jordan Clarkson, Rudy Gobert, and Joe Ingles. All of these guys, except for Gobert, who's always going to get you a double-double, and Royce O'Neal, have scored at least 30 points once or twice over the regular season. So you know that these guys can go off and be the guy. And that's what makes Utah so dangerous, is they have so many versatile weapons and they're just an elite scoring team. All right, let's move on to the Lakers versus the Suns. All right, once again, the basketball gods have looked down favorably on LeBron James as the Lakers pulled past the Suns to even the series 1-1 in a very thrilling game too. So the keys to victory are really going to be, or the X factor, if you will, is going to be Chris Paul. As I stated earlier, Chris Paul is clearly hurt. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. It's very visible. I mean, he was playing with sports tape on. You can tell he messed up his shoulder. And he only played for 23 minutes and had very, very dismal numbers. However, he's still out there playing, giving the veteran presence that his team needs to try to win. And even with Chris Paul having a very poor game due to injury, not playing ability, LA barely won. It was very thrilling, a great game. But if the Suns continue to play like this, there's a huge chance that they could upset the Lakers. And in reality, in my opinion, it shouldn't be an upset because the Suns are the number two seed and the Lakers are the number seven seed. But we'll see how that kind of works out. The Suns front office needs to implement some form of sci-fi stem cell research and get Chris Paul to where he needs to be. He can't be playing 23 minutes if they want to win this series. All right, let's move on to the Clippers versus the Mavericks. Guys, this series is over. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, but Doc, it's only two games in. How can this series be over? I'll tell you how. Tell me what you guys think of these numbers. The LA Clippers shot 54% as a team, 39% from three, 90% from the free throw line. Kawhi scored 41 points. Paul George had 28 points and 12 rebounds. They were playing a home game, and they still lost. They still lost. So the Clippers were playing some of the best basketball they could possibly play, and they still got beat. And a lot of that is because Luka Doncic, the Don, is just unstoppable. He posted 39-7-7 after being guarded by Kawhi and Paul George. It seemed to make no difference. And that kid is just marvelous. And honestly, I think a lot of us, especially myself, we should have reflected on their first bubble meeting where the Mavs were able to take the Clippers 6 games without Porzingis. And now that Porzingis is back, it's really opened up the floor and allowed the creativity of Luka Doncic to really flourish. With that said, everyone has doubted the Mavericks. Even I doubted them. But I won't be doing that again, I promise you that. At least until they face the Jazz in round 2. And look, let's talk about the Clippers for a second. You know, this team is just very poorly constructed and, you know, part of my language. They have a shit roster. And I really don't believe they have the mental fortitude to come back and win this series. They lost both their games just very poorly against the Mavs. The Mavs look like the Mavs, you can tell, want to advance. They want this badly. And honestly, the Clippers kind of leveraged their entire future on getting Paul George. And Kawhi Leonard is a free agent at the end of this year. And I would not be surprised whatsoever if he tested free agency. I mean, if they can't get past the first round with what they have, I just don't see him staying there. I mean, their big acquisition during the offseason was Pascal Siakam, who's playing a backup center role next to Zubac. And Pascal Siakam is great. He's probably the best backup center in the league if we're talking in terms of backup centers, okay? It's not Derek Favors. You know, as much as I wish it was, he's one of the better ones, especially with how he was able to dominate the game in game 1 when Rudy was in foul trouble. But realistically, Pascal Siakam has to be the best backup center there is. If you guys disagree, please email me at ballforthefilthycasual@gmail.com. Still waiting for those emails, guys. Hit me up. All right, last but not least, we're going to talk about Milwaukee versus Miami. So the Bucks are currently up 2-0, and they're doing exactly what I said they would. They are exercising their demons from all the previous playoff games. They're showing Miami that, you know, they are a force to be reckoned with. And the acquisition of Jrue Holiday has been very substantial in helping this team propel themselves into what I believe is going to be that second round matchup. Because, you know, Jrue Holiday, I keep saying this, he's very underrated because he's an elite defender. He can score the basketball and he facilitates excellent ball movement that Milwaukee did not have before with Eric Bledsoe. Now, Eric Bledsoe is a quote-unquote a dog defender, is usually the term used, and he is. He's very gritty, but he does not have the offensive capabilities of Jrue Holiday or really the defensive capabilities of Jrue Holiday. So that was a complete upgrade for them. And Milwaukee's just looking like absolute killers right now, and I really hope they prove me right and they make it past the first round. All right, sorry I lied. We're going to talk about one more team. Brooklyn looks absolutely unstoppable. Now, part of that is because they have probably the best roster in the NBA with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. Not to mention Joe Harris, who I believe right now has the best shooting numbers from three in the NBA in terms of percentage. I'm not saying he's a better shooter than Steph Curry. I don't think anyone is, you know. But he has a better percentage, and it's because he's not shooting 23s a game. But for what he is shooting, he's a marksman, he's a sniper, and my God, they just look, Brooklyn looks incredible. I think the other part to that is the poor defense and bad coaching that's kind of driving the Celtics into a hole here that I don't really think they're going to be able to climb out of. Now, with that said, I still don't think you get rid of Brad Stevens. However, I do believe if you're the front office, you talk to Brad Stevens and you say, hey, man, you need to get this team's head in the game because they are just looking bad right now. And I would not be surprised if the Nets swept the Celtics in 4. I think that's what I said as my prediction to begin with. But wow, absolutely wow. It's just it's looking bad if you're a Boston fan. You know, it didn't help either that there was an eye poke that happened to Jason Tatum that took him out of the game. He wasn't really hitting his rhythm anyways, but just very unfortunate. I think he's going to be available for game 3, but the Celtics really have to try to turn this around. And that's going to be very hard, you know, without Jaylen Brown. because I think this series would be playing out a lot differently if Jalen was there. I think Marcus Smart looks great. Kemba Walker's doing okay. Jason Tatum needs to step up to the plate and show everyone that he is the franchise player we believe him to be. I believe he is a superstar. He is a budding superstar, however you want to say it. Like, that kid is going to be the future power forward. Like, he's very, very good. Guys, thank you so much for listening and supporting the channel. I'll be back next week, and we will continue to discuss the postseason. Thanks for listening, and guys, like always, keep it weird.